The Business Bunker.
Welcome to The Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio and Channel Radio on this Tuesday, the 7th of March. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well.
Nice of you to be in the country.
Yeah, well, I've popped back. I'm actually here till May.
My goodness.
Yeah, I've got a slope off to fit in before then.
Another one.
Yeah.
Another 12-hour lunch.
Just recovering from Fridays,
I know. It does make me laugh. You can't parody it anymore, though, can you? I used to make a joke out of it, but it's just not. It is reality. She had 12 hours for lunch.
New husband came to get me.
He wasn't happy, was he?
He wasn't happy.
No, he wasn't. I could tell he wasn't happy.
Until he saw that I did have a pie for him from Pie Man. Thank you very much,
So Harry. You wheedled your way back into his affections.
It's a little white bag, and it said, for Jules's new husband, pie and veg.
Oh, lovely.
So, yeah.
So he forgave you?
He has.
Okay.
He pursed his lips a bit, but you know what men are like.
Yeah. Obviously.
Are you one?
Nah. So, we've got a packed show. We've got some fantastic guests for your delight. We are going to be celebrating National Apprenticeship Week, for it is that week. And we're also going to be talking about the upcoming budget, because it's also that coming up as well. And we're joined from the United States by the fabulous Ken Herron.
From Florida.
All the way from sunny Florida.
Possibly, you know, catching a crocodile or what do they have? Alligators and crocodiles. I never really know.
See you later,
maybe up a little lemon or orange tree.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably in some flowery shorts.
Or more likely, just sat in his lounge talking to us. Yeah.
Lounging.
Absolutely.
So he's going to tell us about Kent Digital.
Yeah, he's speaking at the Digital in Kent conference next week, and he's going to be talking about some of the things he's talking about there, live streaming and live tweeting. So we're really looking forward to that, because Ken hasn't been on for a while,
we
really love Ken being on.
Not on since 1066, I don't think.
Something like that, yeah.
And he'll be talking probably about the new LinkedIn things, as well as streaming.
Yeah, absolutely. So loads to do, loads of things to cover. As always, we want to hear from you. The people out there in the southeast of England, in business world, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035, or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get hold of me is to tweet me using the hashtag #BeBunker, and we have already had 1,932,700,000,002
bit slow
tweets.
Today. Come on,
so
what's the matter with you?
It's a bit of a slow day today.
Yeah. Also, I would like to say that Alan McCubbin has been amazing at Bradley Accountants. Not only has he brought in proper Bradley's Accountants
Limited.
Have
you bribed her or something?
Pens.
What is this all about? This Mutual Appreciation Society going on here, Alan?
An envelope there.
Yeah, exactly.
He's... See that honey over there?
Yeah.
Kentish honey, darling. Yeah. But also, he's the only guest ever in all my, 85 years I've been doing this.
In this show, yeah.
Malarkey. That's brought in his own banner under his
Absolutely.
Arm. How he got that in his car, I'll never know.
I know, and we've got it in the corner of the studio, and a very lovely banner it is too. And I think we got some live stream pictures of it as well, didn't we, Bird?
Mm. If you hear some crunching, it's just my lozenge.
She's got a cold.
Man flu, darling.
She's
Man
suffering
flu.
Again, yeah. I want to say a massive well done to all the finalists, runners-up and winners from last Friday's Kent Women in Business.
Fabulous.
And we have a winner in the studio with us.
Yes,
of course, my executive producer, partner in crime, minder, personal trainer and everything else, the gorgeous Bird, who actually won for the second year running an award, a well-deserved award, Bird, Women's Champion.
I know. It's only just really hit today, you know.
Yeah.
I was blown away, as you can tell by the photo that Brady took of me.
There were some good photos of you.
I know. I loved it. It was just an amazing event for women. Mm. And the calibre of people were just amazing. So I had a great night. Thank you, Hilary Steele.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And well done, Bird, and all the finalists, runners-up and winners from that prestigious organisation.
Of which
the
there
fifth
are many.
Year. Yeah, and there many, were many, many, many. And quite a few of them associated with this radio station. Not that we're taking any credit.
They've all been on here. They've all been on here.
Yeah, well, half of them run shows on here.
Yeah, now.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, good. Well done to everybody, and keep on keeping on. So, thank you for that.
And who might our sponsor be?
Today's show sponsor is Fruit Bowl Media, the web design company from over there in Canterbury, who design websites specifically for small and medium-sized enterprises.
So that'd be the lovely Tony.
That'll be Tony, George, And Ben?
Now, I knew George on his first day when he just started. I expect he's ruling the roost now, isn't he?
George, yeah.
He used to be sweet, didn't he?
What do you mean he used to be?
Well, I'm sure he's ruling the roost now. He's got all roosterish.
Do you reckon?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You've praised him for 3 years. What are you looking at down there?
I'm looking at my phone. I'm getting messages.
Can't you just do the show like most people?
No, I'm getting messages.
Okay, so sponsor
I'm
we know...
I'm getting complaints about the co-host.
Already? Is that Chris Pollard?
I'll tell you what, read an email.
Okay. Well, Chris Pollard has just said, as you asked me to read an email, he said, listening live with the lovely Miriam McGurk from the lounge and later going down the M20.
Wow. They know how to live, don't they?
I hope he doesn't come down the M20 like Alan McCubbin. I saw him this morning. He came in, honestly, Paul. He was like Fred Flintstone when he came in. Both his tyres were flat.
It's no good telling me that. I just had to move his car. Moved his car. It took me 10 minutes to work out how to move it.
Thing is, he's so young, he doesn't know who Fred Flintstone is.
No,
does he
doesn't know what he's saying.
Me that
it
know.
Could be good, couldn't it?
And his little feet out the bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
So if anybody is in the Ashford area who would like to pump up Alan's tyres... Mm. I'm sure he'll cross your palm with a little bit of silver
probably
or do some
pulled
accounts.
Over by the police now.
They're very flat. I don't know how you got here. The Kent CIPD HR Awards dinner is coming on the Thursday, the 23rd of March. It's 7 p.m. and it's at the Ashford International Hotel. And this is an awards evening for HR professionals. And the Kent CIPD are putting on a fabulous evening, starting with drinks. There'll be a delicious three-course meal. Alan, with wine, Alan. A short talk by Andy Lancaster, Head of Learning.
Not Alan.
No, Andy. Head of Learning and Development Content at CIPD, and then the HR Awards. To get involved, contact the Kent branch of CIPD, where you can get tickets for the event and nominate for the awards. So if you go on to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, you'll find out more details of that in
Fantastic.
A minute.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. We've had a tweet from the lovely Jacqueline Offin of JJ Systems. And she says, Vanilla Webb, how about a shout-out, please, for JJ Systems on the Business Bunker Show and to say hello. So thank you for that. JJ Systems are IT service providers and cyber protection people based over there in the Whitstable area, I think.
Well, the best place to be.
But they cover the whole of Kent. So give them a follow on the Twitter, JJ Systems.
There's a free seminar, a morning of networking and seminar discussions. The topics are going to be stress in the workplace, mental health, occupational health, healthy business awards. And this will be followed by two informative workshops about health and well-being in the workplace, as well as a talk delivered by a national speaker who is not named yet. I love that when they do that because they're still trying to phone you, aren't they? So this is at the Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce on the 7th of April, 8:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. There will be tea, coffee and a buffet lunch. It doesn't mention wine, but I'm sure they will have some. And you need to go on to kentandvictorchamber.co.uk events / Kent Medway Health and Wellbeing. As usual, it'll be on Kent Business Radio after the show.
Cool. Thank you for that. I've got a tweet here from Athelbray Limited. I'm always told off about how to pronounce that.
Sounds a bit like Eeyore would eat.
Nah, I'll spell it for you in a minute. I'll spell it for you in a minute. Athelbray has said, can we have a Business Bunker shout out? On the 29th of March at Brands Hatch Place, we have a 3-hour mental health awareness for managers workshop. And we're delighted to offer discounts for charities or small businesses. So if you want to find out more about that, I suggest you follow them on the Twitter. And their Twitter handle is Athelbray LTD. That is spelt A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E LTD. A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E LTD. Athelbray Limited.
Sound like you've got a lisp. We run Jeremy Hinchcliffe, who's the director of the first aid team. You stop doing that. Looked really rude what you were saying.
Well, can you just lower your mic then because you're shouting?
Lower it.
Thank you.
Okay. I can also talk more quietly. So Jeremy Hinchcliffe, who's the director of the first aid team, says we run regular open or public first aid courses in Maidstone. I get terribly heckled, listen, honestly. And the next course dates are shown below. If you'd like to see the full course diary or book an open course online, then please go to our website, which is thefirstaidteam.co.uk. And it's about first aid at work, 3 days, so it's the 27th, the 28th and the 29th of March. It's £200 per person plus VAT, and it's a dedicated course to help you at your premises for up to 12 people, which is £1,100 plus VAT. Also, the 7th of April, £35 per person plus VAT is a dedicated course at your premises for a maximum of 12 people, and that costs £175 plus VAT. And there are lots of courses, they say, in Canterbury, Hastings, Orpington and Tunbridge Wells, but as he said, Jeremy has said, they will go to your place. Again, the firstaidteam.co.uk. I was reading about this, Paul Andrews, in the Evening Standard. They're saying that most people, something horrific, would not stop and help someone on CPR or Kiss of Life and things. Mm. You know, because they're not confident. So that sounds like a really good thing.
I think in this day and age, there are all kinds of reasons why that would go. We've become very litigious. People don't want to take responsibility for something that they're not trained in and get the blame for it. People genuinely don't want to hurt someone by making it worse. But you do find that. It's sad that that's where we've got to as a society.
But also it's about confidence.
To some extent, understandable. Yeah, because you don't want someone to get hurt trying to make things
better.
You don't
want to press too hard. Mm. But maybe we should be teaching it in schools for everyone so that we all know. Okay. Do you like wine? Here's one. Would you like to learn more about the wine that you drink? After the success of the Discover the Vine launch party in February, I would like to invite you to the first of our wine tasting workshops, Introduction to Wine Tasting, Popular
Wine
Varieties.
It's not on yet.
I've got a few days. It's on Tuesday the 28th of March, 7:30 p.m., so it doesn't get in the bunk away, till 9:30. It's at the George Inn in Leeds near Maidstone. And you'll be greeted on arrival with a delicious glass of sparkling wine and a chance to get to know everybody in a relaxed, informal environment.
Sounds good.
So to find out more about this, go to discoverthevine.co.uk.
Fantastic. Angela Brickenshaw is launching her book called Timber's Story, and it's about living with her guide dog. And she's launching it on the 15th of March at the King Charles Hotel in Gillingham at 7:30 in the evening. And the book will be to raise funds for guide dogs. The book isn't Angela's story, although she has so much to say. It is actually the story that Timber wrote.
Oh, with his paw.
Before he passed away December
2015.
Oh. How sad. In the book, he talks about how difficult it was to leave his litter, learning to use his harness, being partnered with Angela, and the amusing things that people do when they see a guide dog working. The book will make you laugh and it will make you cry, and it's available from the website timbersstory.co.uk.
Fabulous.
Timbersstory.co.uk, and it's a paltry £9.99, and the sale proceeds go to guide dogs.
And how can they find it? Can you just remind me?
The website is timbers with an S, story, all one word, timbersstory.co.uk.
Fabulous guide dogs, and you're not supposed to touch them or approach them, are they, when they're working?
No, absolutely.
The training's obviously amazing. Tracy Ferguson, Tazzy 64, has said, I remember the Flintstones too. Theme tune in my head now. So she's just going round and round and round. And so she's also said, yabba dabba doo.
Bam, bam.
Yeah.
Networking breakfast with Sally Marshall. This networking breakfast is perfect for new and small business owners, sole traders and established businesses. There are opportunities to share your business journey over a light breakfast. There are limited places, so you must book now. And the next one is on the 17th of March, St. Patrick's Day, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Yeah, it is. So you'll have Guinness for breakfast there then. And it's entitled, What is Your Strategy to Achieve Your Vision? It's from 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. and you can book it through kentinvictorchamber.co.uk website. Jules?
The ZC YouTube, so this is YouTube for your business, something that I'm setting up at the moment for somebody. So this is very interesting. It's Wednesday the 29th of March. It's with the lovely Zoe Cairns. It's in Medway Innovation Centre, 9:30 to 12:30, £97 a person. And she says, if you're using YouTube to reach a new audience, grow your business and build your brand. Come along for a hands-on workshop and go away with a better understanding on how to use YouTube for your business. Learn how to use video content effectively, maximize your videos for your business, find out how to convert views to leads and inquiries, learn which tools can be used to create video content, and hear how to build your video lists and to use this for your marketing campaigns. Now, she says that places are available, but they're limited. So please go to, there's a long thing here. So just go to Kent Business Radio and look for the Zoe ZC YouTube.
It's on the blog pages. If you go to the blog tab, you'll find it there.
Which is Wednesday, the 29th of March, 2017, 9:30 to 12:30 at 97 per person. A good one. Do it.
Fantastic. We're going to play some cheesy tunage now.
Are we?
How's your 1960s music then, Jules?
Well, you know, I wasn't born, but, you know, how's yours?
Well, I picked it, so...
Is it Bay City Rollers, was that...
No, see if you can... It's a bit obscure, this, so
oh,
see if you can get it.
Not one of the hard ones when I've got a cold. Someone with a drum.
You'll never get it.
Working in a coal mine.
Yay! Name that tune.
Working in a coal mine. About to sit down. Working in a coal mine. Going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine. About to slip down.
5 o'clock in the morning. I'm already up and gone. Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on?
Yeah, they're working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoops, about to slip down.
Working
in a coal mine, going down, down, down.
Working
in a coal mine, whoops, about to slip down.
Cause I make a little money on a coal by the tongue. But when Saturday rolls around, I'm too tired for having fun.
Too tired for having. I'm just working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
Working
in a coal mine,
going
down, down, down.
Working
in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on?
Dada working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
Working
in a coal mine,
going
down, down, down.
Working
in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
5 o'clock in the morning, I'm already up and gone. Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on?
Dada working in a coal mine. Going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine. Whoops, about to slip down.
Working
in a coal mine.
Going
down, down, down.
Working
in a coal mine. Whoops, about to slip down.
Cause I make a little money on a coal by the ton. But when Saturday rolls around, I'm too tired for having fun.
Too tired for having. I'm just working in a coal mine. Going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine. Whoop, about to slip down.
Working
in a coal mine.
Going
down, down, down.
Working
in a coal mine. Whoop, about to slip down.
Lord, I'm so tired.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com.
Where do businesses in Kent go to do business? Supplymybusiness.co.uk. Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join today. Supplymybusiness.co.uk.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker.
Welcome back to The Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio and Channel Radio on this Tuesday, the 7th of March, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. And there's a bit of Lee Dorsey there.
That's a good song.
Working
isn't
in
it?
A coal mine. You got it.
Good
you
song.
Did get it.
Eventually.
Fair
yeah.
play.
I was a bit worried for a minute because it was obscure, but I do know it quite well.
Yeah. Well, you should be.
Well, because my mother used to play it.
Really?
Yeah. When I was about
while you were babysitting.
15. Mm-hmm. We've just had a AK Pet Services listening.
Haven't heard from you for ages.
Hundreds of years. Mm. He's lovely. So hello to you. And did you see, I was just going to say about that, I'll tell you in a minute, because we've got so many, much going on. Oh, Denise Wilton, she's tuning in.
Hello, Denise.
She is a big fan of Alan, and I'm sure she's now a fan of Ramsey.
Absolutely. And she's a great supporter of the show as well, and we do thank her for that.
Ken Heron, I'm sure she'll love Ken Heron. Mm. There is a super glitzy, glamorous evening of fine dining and entertainment. And it's with Linda and Mario Garcia. It's the Pink Charity Gala Ball in aid of Breast Cancer Now. Not allowed to say breast cancer anymore, apparently. You have to say chest cancer. Did you know
really?
That? Yeah.
Because where did that come from?
Well, it's all politically correct. What we're saying. You have to say chest cancer now. Keep up.
Can't you have breasts anymore?
No. You can't. You have to chest feed. Don't you know all this? I'll tell you later.
She's making it.
I'm not. I'm telling you. It's for all the, you know...
Are you one of these people that are telling me that I can't call it Manchester anymore? That they've renamed it Person-chester?
Person-chester. Yeah. Possibly. You have to say chest feeding, honestly. Anyway.
So what do you do with that if you're in Manchester? You call it person breaster or something. I'm confused.
Possibly. Well, it doesn't take much, really, at your age. Mm. Linda and Mario, probably not even allowed to say that on air anymore. About
what,
your
Linda?
Age. No, you... or Mario.
Or Mario.
Mario Garcia. Yeah. It's my best Spanish. Pink Charity.
He's Chilean.
Pink Charity, is he?
Yes.
A bit hot. Pink Charity Gala Ball in aid of Chest Cancer Now. And this is on Thursday the 11th of May at the Ashford International again. Can someone just build another bigger hotel? Because we are running out of venues, aren't we? Well, Alan and I aren't. We're always finding them, aren't we?
You find anywhere to drink, you two.
We were at the pie shop, weren't
we? Yeah, as long as it's got pork and Prosecco, you're home and dry, aren't you, really?
But he likes port.
We had to even bring our own alcohol as well.
I know, we did, didn't we? Anyway, I digress. Thursday the 11th of May at the Ashford International. It's 6:30 p.m. until late. And the evening will begin with reception drinks and entertainment from jazz singer Lisa Barrett-Smith. And let's find out more about this. It's £75. It's from butterfliesanddreamsevents.co.uk/charity-gala. There'll be a master of ceremonies as well, Barnaby Winter, another of our
Brand Bucket
hobo guests that we've had on.
Yep.
Great auction, raffle prizes up for grabs, fun photo booth and lots more. So you know where to go for that.
Yep, so that's Linda and Mario Garcia are staging it, and the lovely Amanda Flanders with her Butterflies and Dreams event company is staging it for them.
Thursday the 11th of May at the Ashford.
So it's all good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all happening in Kent.
I've had a tweet from the Stove Hub who said, can I have a shout out for Tunbridge Farmers Market? And they say, we'd like that because we'll be there cooking up local produce from the market on our trailer.
It's going to be great, isn't it? Because they'll have Matthew Kearsey Lawson, Steve Wood, all those pies.
Everyone.
Yeah. All your Kentish produce, jams, chutneys, get down there. When is it? This Sunday.
This Sunday.
Fabulous. They are award-winning Tunbridge Farmers Market, of course. Now, what's this? Business Bunker Radio Show recently attended the RIFT Legal Services Seminar, which was presented by Kai Birchmore.
Yep.
And HMRC is cracking down on false self-employment. So they have status challenges are going to be pretty big news at the moment as the government looks to recoup more than $1.5 billion per year that it believes is being lost to false self-employment. So Kai gives an overview interview together... Well, it's hard to say that overview interview when you're on Barocca, together with some views for a cross-section of the approximate 30 seminar attendees. You can hear the interview by going on to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, RIFT Legal.
Yep.
Did you hear it?
I was at the event and I recorded it, which is why I've got the audio. And what I did is I interviewed Kai afterwards and he did a very short, like 7-minute synopsis of the rule changes, and it's really worth listening to because it is one of the scariest things you would have come across. Because the rule changes are ridiculous.
What they're saying, give us a snippet.
The government and HMRC hate self-employed people, basically, and they're trying to clamp down. So what they're saying is, if you employ a self-employed person, one of the most silly rules is this: if you employed a self-employed person, but you are able to give them orders, then they're not self-employed, they're employed.
Orders?
Yeah.
As in, could you...
Yeah, so do this or do that. So the construction people said, well, if you work on a construction site, we have health and safety procedures that we are obliged by law to tell people. Mm. And they said, yes. And if you do that, it makes them all employed.
That's wow. crazy.
That's just crazy. It's just crazy.
You don't tell them, you just give them the guidance.
Yeah, you just give them a sheet. Go, if you fancy that, do it. Yeah.
So you could do, yeah, you can't speak to them.
Yeah, but there were lots. You got to listen to the interview.
I will.
Yeah, it is fascinating and scary at the same time, because even HMRC don't actually know what the rules are. So the rules are open to interpretation by each inspector, basically.
So that could affect a lot of people.
Yeah, it does.
This is the lovely Ramsey.
Especially in the construction industry. Especially in the construction industry.
It could.
And yes, a lot of people.
Yeah, and not just hospitality. Think of all the, you know, people that you take on, waiters, all that for conferences.
It affects you if you're self-employed as well. Because it effectively takes away...
Well, I am self-employed.
Well, it effectively takes away your desire to be self-employed as well. Have a listen. It's scary stuff.
Yeah, I hope we don't go the way of Spain. Yeah. But Spain makes it very difficult for people to run their own business.
I'm going to do one more tweet and then we're going to speak to our first guest.
Can't wait.
I've had a tweet from Creek FM.
Oh.
And they're a new radio station. And they say, Vanilla Web, could we have a shout out, please, for Creek FM and the Creek FM posse?
Oh, they're in Faversham, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
We're launching on the 8th of April in Faversham with a new community radio station. So, congratulations, guys. I hope it goes well, and I know what hard work it is to set something like that up. So we'll be keeping our fingers crossed for you. It's 8th of April, and I believe that they're originally launching as an internet radio station, and then longer term, they're hoping to get an FM licence.
I put them in touch with Faversham Creek Hotel David Sales, because I think he'll be good for them. He'll go in and help them. Well done.
So good luck to them.
And do they know how hard work it is?
Yeah, I was chatting to them last night, and they were saying that it's getting to that point where it's really starting to hit home now. But we wish them much success, and it's really great to. We love radio, and we think it's got a lot of future, so the more the merrier.
And Paul, the Twitter is going mad. It's very, very busy. I just wanted to say that Anthony Jones on the Twitter, he is AJ, oh, he's gone, AJ
Photo
Info, has got a workshop coming up. Which I'll look at again because I've lost it on the timeline, but I have tweeted it on Jules Serkin. It's called Photo Montage Workshop. There we are, I found it. Kent Big Weekend are the hashtags. Check him out, AJ Photo Info. He did ask. He said things are tough for him at the moment out there in Kent.
Yep.
So, and he's hugely talented. So,
support him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, if I remember, is he based on the island?
He is, but he does come off it now and then.
Is he allowed ashore?
Yeah, rowing boat.
To the mainland.
He's got a sea cat.
To the Kent mainland, yeah. A sea cat, they normally come across on sunbeds, don't they?
What?
Across the bay.
On sunbeds? Mm. Lilos. Mm. What are you eating?
It's a Halls Mentholitus.
Oh, I've got...
I've got a sore throat.
Yeah, look, I've got those. And we're sharing them, aren't we?
Well, I've just finished my Strepsil, so I'm moving on to that later. Working up the chain here.
It's like the National Health in here, I tell you. We're like some hospital.
I've got a personal nurse.
We all need one. Do you know, I asked my new husband this morning, I croaked. I was sweating and everything.
Who croaked, Lester?
I woke up, it was like 6:30, and he was just charging off to London. I said, would you bring me a hot lemon with Kentish honey? And he said, no. Do you know how many chicken soups I make that man? Mm-hmm. He said no. And off
That's
he went.
Not nice,
so
is it?
Tonight there's no dinner for him.
So how long's he your new husband? How long does new last?
What do you think, Paul?
Well,
you know me.
So you've been together, what, 24 years?
Yeah, our son is 21.
Wow, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've been married, what?
2011.
So 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so fairly new still.
Yeah, he's still,
fairly new.
Still, you know. Still trying to train him. He doesn't even know how to work the dishwasher, Ramsey, honestly.
24 years.
No.
How to work the dishwasher?
No.
How to work by what?
By her flowers. That's how it works, isn't it?
Well,
the dishwasher.
By her flowers?
Yeah. So you work a dishwasher?
I don't get... Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Very amusing. Very amusing. Yeah, but he does tend to get me flowers from places
from
I
the
don't
garage.
Really like. No, well, Tesco Metro and places.
Oh, he's moved up
he's
a class.
He's moved up from the garage.
Yeah.
Yeah. He still doesn't know where the washing powder goes, which department, which compartment. You know, he's good in other ways.
Excellent.
Sure.
Anyway.
Am I reading something?
No, I want to talk to our first guest because I've had enough of you.
Let's talk about Ramsey.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back for the second time on the show, but quite some time since last time. Yeah, absolutely.
Actually.
Ramsey Cowan.
Hello, Paul. Hi. Yes, it's like an anniversary. It's pretty much a year since we were last together.
You're our new guest.
Oh, thank you very
much.
Thank you.
Ramsey's from IPS International, and he's going to tell us all about what that is in a moment. And we're kind of going to be talking about the work that IPS do and also incorporating that in what is this week, National Apprenticeship Week. So for those listeners that don't remember, I'm sure there's none out there, but we ought to just fill them in. Give us a bit of background to what IPS actually do and a bit of the history of the organisation too.
Yeah, well IPS International has been around for about 30 years. We grew out of the steel industry. We're a training company. And right now we've got, I guess, around 1,400 apprentices on our books. And we do apprentice training for a whole range of companies and organisations through the southeast. We do it in health and social care and engineering, motor vehicle, IT, business management, senior management, accounting. So there's a whole range of things we offer. And there has never been a more exciting time to take on an apprenticeship. There's been some huge changes in terms of the way the funding works, in terms of the actual training programs that apprentices are going to be moving into. When the government brought in the levy system or the idea of it, it filled a lot of us with fear. But what it's actually done is it's really woken businesses up to the whole idea of apprenticeships. Businesses want to spend their money, to spend their levy money. So if you're out there looking for an apprenticeship in any of the areas I've talked about, or really any area, we can help in most areas, then give us a shout.
It's interesting, isn't it? One of the things that I'm asked about an awful lot is a lot of small businesses at last have started to think about apprenticeships. It's taken a long time, but it's now so hard to recruit staff that they've had to get more innovative. So a lot of people are thinking about apprenticeships. And the thing that they say to me more than anything is, where do I go? What do I do? And, of course, I think the thing that most people struggle with is where to get the training. Obviously, I mean, they know they can advertise for an apprentice and they can fill out the government forms, but where do you go to get training? That's the key thing for them.
Well, for people who are looking for apprenticeships, contact us at our Rochester Centre, and that's ipsinternational.com. We've got the website. But the same for employers. We're actually finding that employers we haven't dealt with are finding us now, right, through looking through websites and so on, because the profile's been raised, and they want to make use of this levy money. But exactly the same for the employers. Just contact us at our Rochester Centre. We can talk to them about the training, and we can work with them on the recruitment as well.
Okay. You don't need to go into massive technical detail, but can you just give us a quick overview of the new apprenticeship scheme and how it kind of works? And 'cause I'm saying this, not you.
Yeah.
As an employer, it's really annoying when the government starts something and then it takes ages for you to try and work it out, and then they change it.
They do that all the time.
And people go, oh, I can't be bothered, which is a shame. But we've now reached a point where employers can't say that anymore. Employers now are bothered because it is just so incredibly difficult to recruit anybody. So apprenticeships are really key, and businesses are starting to take notice. So can you just give us a quick overview, Ramsey, of where the new
apprenticeship scheme? Okay, well, the first, it's a basic fact, certainly from where we're looking at, is the new apprenticeship scheme is pretty much the same as the old apprenticeship scheme. But in various areas, employers have been involved in upgrading some of the syllabus, so that new technology has been brought into some of the programs, new ways of working. A big difference is in terms of assessment, and rather than ongoing assessment happening during the process, there's an end assessment. So that's almost taking us back a few years in terms of the way things are done. But it does mean at the end, the apprentice is assessed on the whole content of the program. We've been involved in some of the things called trailblazers, right, which are the development process, working with industry groups, looking at the standards, looking at the apprentice program, saying, look, is this what we want? And if not, getting people involved in changing it, bringing it up to date.
Absolutely.
So what we've got now is a great set of new upgraded programs. I'm using new in inverted commas because, of course, you know, basic skills don't change that much unless you're moving into IT and some of the modern electronics. The programs are much more accessible, and the big thing about working with the employers in terms of putting the standards together is we've got buy-in now. They're actually saying, you know, great, this is the stuff we want. It's a really exciting time to be getting into this.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, you're now starting to incorporate feedback into that in terms of what people want and need now that we've had some kind of time of running these kind of things. The other thing I want to talk about is I talk to a lot of small employers, and their awareness of apprenticeships is kind of based on what was an apprenticeship when they were young, you know, which was the old City and Guild stuff. And the old City and Guild stuff was fairly restricted in terms of what you could do. Are there those kind of restrictions now?
There are much, much, you know, many fewer restrictions, if I can use that term. Effectively, there's a core syllabus for any of the if we talk about engineering, the basic skills, the core skills would tend to be applied across a range of apprenticeships. But there's so many additional bolt-on specifics. If you're in electronics or hydraulics or pneumatics for the technically minded and so on, they are more flexible because we've got a more flexible workforce. And I think for the first time, apprenticeships are really starting to reflect the fact that in one organization, people are doing a similar job, but with a whole range of different nuances to it. And certainly that is something that we're pretty adept at working with, and we've been doing this for the last 2 or 3 years, really looking. Because at the end of the day, an employer wants someone that can do stuff that's relevant in the workplace, not have 100% of skills, but there's only 20 they can use. And it's the same for the individual. Mm. If you're a trainee, you want to be able to use all the stuff you've learned, park half of it in a bag.
Absolutely.
So certainly from my point of view, and seeing it as an owner and employer in a big training business, this is really exciting, good stuff, and this is the time to be thinking about. If you're an employer, get involved with taking on an apprentice. If you're a young person, or anything from 16 to 18 to 18 to 24s and on forever, give us a shout.
There is no age restriction.
There is no age restriction.
All that happens is if you're over 24, the funding pattern's slightly different.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the funding, we're still getting to grips with this. Yeah. And we'll work with employers in terms of sorting that lot out.
Yeah.
How hands-on are you with helping employers?
Very, very hands-on. I mean, we run an apprentice training agency. It's a separate organisation that we work very closely with. So if employers are struggling to actually take apprentices onto their books, we can employ them for them for the duration of the programme while the apprentices are learning. We will sit with employers and look at some of the jobs they've got and suggest the best type of apprenticeship to do it, to talk about the funding, to talk about the support the employers can provide. We're very hands-on because, as you say, Paul, there's so many employers don't quite understand or are put off by the idea of taking on someone, then being responsible for seeing them through this learning journey. But no, that our job is, because it's in our interest as well. We want to see people succeed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And progression's a huge thing now. And I mean, we reckon 10% of the apprentices that we've trained over the last few years are now moving up in their companies, are becoming team leaders, are becoming managers. And even some of them are now sending apprentices along to us to be trained in their departments. Mm. It's a tremendous way to really get a good start in progression.
I'm sure you probably know this, but I will tell you this because it's some of the data that we collect, being with my day job with jobs in Kent and what have you. Average apprenticeship lifetime earnings are now greater than graduates.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's been true for a while now,
Paul. It has.
The apprentice is so practical, and you're straight in, and you're doing something useful for an employer from the day you get your hands in.
Unlike a degree, you're earning while you're learning.
Absolutely.
With a degree, you're paying to learn. So you come out with a debt, whereas as an apprentice, you've been earning money, which goes up as you hit the different levels anyway. I mean, one of the beefs about apprenticeships for young people is that the minimum pay is a bit lousy. But what we've talked to with employers is to try to get them to understand that the minimum pay is just a minimum. It's just a legal minimum requirement. It's not mandatory. You have to pay market rate.
Yeah.
And in Kent now, for most apprenticeships, you're looking to be paying somewhere around about £200 a week for a 16, 17, 18-year-old apprentice. Otherwise, they're just not going to apply for the jobs.
Well, they won't be able to afford to travel there.
I wouldn't let my kids do it for £3 an hour because, you know, the bus fare and a cup of coffee costs that.
Yeah.
But the earning potential of apprentices is now greater than graduates. And also, of course, you can actually get a degree as an apprentice.
Yeah, well, we're working on an HNC programme, and some of our apprentices move on to the University of Greenwich, which is just across the water from us. Yeah. So the chances of progression are very, very high.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting thing when you're looking at an apprentice working environment, because often when people come with a degree to an organisation, it's trying to find which bit of the degree they can use. But if you're running an apprenticeship within your organisation, everything that they're learning is related to your business, to your production, to whatever. So you're generating value. And let's not kid ourselves. You know, organisations will pay good salaries to people who are adding value for them.
Absolutely.
You know, this is the way it works. It's not just being good-natured. Yeah. This is business.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we work with businesses to make sure that they get an asset that they can actually capitalise on.
Absolutely.
And how, Ramsay, niche are you? Because you mentioned various sections that you work in. Will you work in any section for any company?
We don't work in any section. I mean, we work with some very excellent subcontractors. So we do nails, hair and beauty. We do business improvement techniques up in the south of London. So there are various contractors that we work with. Our big areas are engineering, right across the whole field of industrial manufacturing engineering, health and social care from our office in Dover. So if you're interested in moving into the care business, which is a growing market, and get some really tremendous training there.
Can I just interject there because you're absolutely right, Ramsay. Health and social care is one of the biggest market areas in terms of employment. There's some perceptions about working in that marketplace that are no longer true. And one of the things that the industry itself has to do is to change some of those perceptions, because you now can't work in that health and social care sector without qualifications.
That's it. Absolutely.
You have to be qualified. Yeah.
And there's a lot of skill and a lot of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Everything from medication to handling to dealing with people to psychology. It's
basically old school nursing, really, to a large extent.
That's a big part of it, Paul. It's tremendous. Yeah. We look at motor vehicle as well, and a whole range of accounting and business administration and IT, mm-hmm. all the modern stuff. So we cover quite a wide range.
Yeah, sure.
But every one of these, every program we run, we're talking to the employer and making sure that the particular blend of program that a trainee gets is going to fit the employment.
Okay.
Because we want sustainable employment.
Absolutely. Can we do a bit of a role play? No, that's all right, don't get carried away.
Okay, Paul, this is my suspicious look across the table here.
I'm an employer. I'm a small engineering company. And I want to employ an apprentice engineer.
Yeah.
What do I do? I call you and I go...
You call me and you say, Ramsay, I'd like to employ an engineer.
Okay.
And I'd say to you, Paul, okay, what sort of engineering do you do, Paul?
Okay. So I'm going to say, right, well, we make aluminium car bonnets for Ford. So, you know, I need someone that can learn to, I don't know, because I'm not an engineer, but pattern cutters and grinders and stuff like that.
Paul, you've given me enough clues here. It looks like you're looking at a manufacturing type apprenticeship with a bit of engineering, understanding use of machinery, understanding engineering principles, bit of metalwork and so on. So what we'll do, Paul, is we'll have a look at the standards for that. You and I'll sit and have a talk, and we'll start to tick off and say, okay, day to day, what's that individual going to be doing in the morning? What machines are they using? What sort of skills? What sort of admin might they have to do along with that?
So and we'll have help two way job, yeah.
and then we'll make sure that for both of us, that fits this particular apprenticeship.
Right.
And then we'll go out and look for somebody that's going to fit the bill.
Okay, so do you do that, or do I do that, or do we both do that?
You can do that yourself, or we can help you doing it. We do quite a lot of work with organisations and doing initial stages of recruitment. We've got the National Apprentice Service, the database where people log on, where young people, middle people, whatever, will log on and register an interest in apprenticeships, so we can go through that. We have people applying to us, and between us we'll sort it out. Okay. So pretty much at the end of it, we'll do what we need to do with you to make sure you get off to the right start with that, Paul.
So we find someone that we like, and we think, right, we like the look of you. You're the kind of person that we want in our organisation. That young person or the person we take on as an apprentice starts work. How does the training, the formalised training part of it, work? In the old days, apprenticeships used to be like a couple of days at work and then 3 days at college type of thing. That's changed now a lot, hasn't it?
Well, if I take our engineering, for example, for a lot of the companies we work with, the whole first year would be spent in our centre. So we recruit, and in the first year in our centre, we'll look at things like health and safety, right, basic engineering skills, getting used to the work ethic, working in a working environment, learning. So by the time you go out to the employer isn't having to deal with someone that's just come straight from school. Right. This person is there, ready, hungry, full of all the knowledge they need to really get started. Right. Second and third years, one of our trainer assessors will be out there in regular visits, right, checking what they're doing, working with the employer to make sure the individual's getting tasks, maybe coming back to the centre for top-up training and specific things.
Fantastic.
Very flexible. It's quite a mix of ways that we can do this.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm loving that you're saying this, because you do hear some naysayers that go, oh, you know, apprenticeships is just all burger flipping now, which of course it isn't. And funnily enough, we had an advert recently for an apprentice nuclear submarine engineer.
Wow.
With BAE Systems, which was a 7-year apprenticeship, which a level 7 apprenticeship is a BSc honours degree at the end of it as well. But of course, they were going to learn how to build nuclear submarines, which I thought was quite cool. I'm loving what I'm hearing here. As far as it goes, your organisation, do you specialise in apprenticeships, or is this type of training available in different ways?
Apprenticeships are a large part of our business, but we're also a commercial engineering training consultancy organisation.
Right, okay.
So we work directly with a lot of big organisations in terms of developing high-level engineering skills, multi-skilling for existing engineers and so on. Mm. But that's outside the government funding area.
Sure.
It's the commercial.
So that's a commercial operation.
But it is there too. If there are organisations out are looking to multi-skill some of their engineers, to have operators who are operating a plant but could usefully learn how to maintain it, then we do a lot of that, and we have a lot of expertise in that.
We have a massive shortage in this country of engineers and
absolutely,
manufacturers.
Paul,
massive
absolutely.
Shortage. And it's a huge market.
This has driven a lot of the work that we're doing. I mean, we started multi-skilling with Sheerness Steel 30 years ago, where we grew from, and now we've just taken on a big contract with a national organisation to train operators up and down the country in terms of doing first line maintenance, because it's difficult getting engineers.
Absolutely.
But the other thing, of course, is for people who are engineers, and this is if you're going through as an apprentice as an engineer. It gets to the stage where new technology comes in all the time. So you have a choice of an engineer is let go some of maybe the more basic, shall we call them, tasks, and let operations pick that up. And then you get on and do the high-tech, IT, fast, digital technology that's coming in.
3D so, printing type
absolutely,
stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. And so as an engineer, you're moving up in terms of your technology.
Yeah.
But it leaves a space there for people who are great operators who fancy getting involved in some of the practical maintenance tasks as well. Just tremendous opportunity.
Cool. Ramsey, we could talk about this forever because there's a lot to talk about. Sadly, we're running out of time.
And I'm ready for my next Hall's
soother
here, which Jules has just passed me.
We hardly know each other. We've both got the same bug, I think.
Yeah.
I know. That's,
you're sharing your smoothers.
Watch out, you can be the new husband.
No, I'm saying just, I'm just glad we're not in air, Jules.
It's lucky, just us.
Give us a shout out once more for your website so that people can go and find out about the kind of work that you're doing.
Yeah, it's ipsinternational.com or www.ips-international.com. See, I'm just so well read.
Don't worry about it. If you go to the Kent Business Radio website, the link to the website is right in the middle of the homepage of the Kent Business Radio.
Do that.
So you can click on that link and find them as well. So Ramsey, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you, Paul.
On the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, as always.
A pleasure.
More power to your elbow and the things you're doing. It's incredibly important to our economy and our business community. We are a manufacturing nation. We are an engineering nation. And we need more people with STEM skills.
Always have been.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we want to see more of that. So all power to you. Thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thank you, Paul.
Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
I'll do that.
But I think we'll do a couple more emails and tweets, Jules.
We will, Paul Andrews. The IOSH Leading Safely is a one-day seminar. He says, this person says, as a senior executive, your time is precious. And that's why the Leading Safely course has been designed in conjunction with business leaders to cover only what you need in as short a time as possible. It's a course that's aimed at anyone with leadership responsibilities, so that's CEOs or MDs, or senior management and directors and executives. You can book now for the 15th of March in Maidstone or in London the 12th of April. Other dates are available, and they can also do an in-house course. So you need to contact info@ukhsettraining.co.uk. Actually, that's not set. I read it wrong. It's Southeast Training, I would think it stands for. So ukhsetraining.co.uk.
Thank you. I've had a tweet from Kate Griffiths, the lovely Kate Griffiths.
Hello, the makeup.
Yeah.
She made you look much better.
Yeah, with a gash on my head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kate says, I'm busy working today, but I would love a shout-out, please, on the Business Bunker. I haven't been on for ages. It would be nice to catch up. And Kate's Twitter handle is KateFXMakeup. I tell you what, she's a theatrical film makeup artist, and it is absolutely... When I say makeup, I don't mean, you know, like eyeliner and lipstick. I mean special effects makeup. Some of the things she does are gruesome.
Yeah, they are.
And she posts the pictures on Twitter, and just when I'm about to eat my tea...
Yeah,
of severed hands and gouged eyes and all kinds of things.
They are incredibly realistic.
Yeah, unbelievable.
But then look at your average tea. It probably is a severed hand or a gouged eye.
It was quite funny, wasn't it?
Is Stephen Tenterden?
Yeah. It was when Kate was on the show a couple of years ago. Yeah. She put a cut on my forehead just while I was presenting on the stage.
Great big gash.
It was a great big gash with blood everywhere and all the rest of it. Anyway, we finished the show and Kate left. And I went next door for lunch in the bistro. And I walked in and everyone went, my God, sit down. And they tried to call an ambulance. And I'm going, I forgot it was there. And I go, what's the matter with you all? And they said, you've hit your head. Now, don't worry. Stay still. We'll call an ambulance. And they'll go, try not to bleed on the table. And I went and licked the blood off. And they went... and I went, it's ketchup.
Yeah, that was, I think that was around Halloween she came
in. It was,
in So really, he was a ghoul just walking about. He looked fab.
Yeah, no change there then.
Not really.
Yeah.
Hey, a blast, listener, this sounds good. Maidstone TV Studios. We, of course, don't have a face for TV, but a blast is a business networking. It's one of a kind. It's energetic and dynamic. It's an annual event. And it's brought to you by the Kent Foundation to celebrate business in Kent. This year, the event will be held in the stunning Maidstone TV Studios, which is UK's largest independent live studios. And it's a once-a-year event not to miss. So it's Tuesday the 14th of March, 5.30 to 7.30. And as I said, it's in Maidstone TV Studios, New Cut Road, Maidstone. You'll find that on the Kent Business Radio website, no doubt.
You can do another one if you want.
If my young man has uploaded them. Dandelion Time, the lovely, has a marmalade workshop Friday the 10th of March, 9 till 3. I do love a little bit of marmalade, just sliced on a little crusty, maybe a sourdough. Quite nice. Do you know what,
Paul? Thick cut.
I bought sourdough the other
day
for a thick cut marmalade or sourdough.
That was just a comment.
Or marmalade or the sourdough, because I like the sourdough quite thick cut and the butter very thick cut.
You like thick cut butter?
I do spread it quite thick, yeah.
What was she saying to us earlier, Bird?
Yeah.
She was saying, she's saying to
natural.
Us, I
all
eat
natural.
Healthily, and Bird pulled a face at her, and she went, no, I do.
Darling, butter is one of the best things for you, and marmalade is all vitamin C, of course.
It is indeed.
And
it is
indeed. Exactly.
Oh, don't encourage her, you
Scottish
lot.
Would have good marmalade, wouldn't they? Or berries, you're famous for raspberries. You've got the best, not you personally, but up in Scotland, you've got the best raspberries ever.
Oh, we've got a lot of, I mean, my favourite in the morning is a toast butter, marmalade and cheese.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, thick cut marmalade with the slice of cheddar.
Yeah.
Just great.
A little bit of harissa on the top, and you're off.
Yeah.
Anyway,
where was
I? If we're going to do breakfast, I had avocado, bacon and poached egg for breakfast.
Very nice.
Lovely.
I had Riverford Organic sweet potato and two poached eggs. Actually, they weren't poached because I wasn't feeling well, so I fried
them.
This
sounds like one
of
those party games, isn't it?
I actually fried them.
On Monday, I had...
Yeah, it's a bit like the scripts I have to read sometimes where I go, and I went, and they all start with, I went, and I... find it a bit monotonous. Anyway, Paula George in East Farley is doing a marmalade workshop, Ramsay.
Marmalade?
Yeah.
Another marmalade story. I love a kipper on a Saturday morning, and I like it with a big slice of toast and butter.
In your kilt?
What, the kipper in my kilt? Yeah. No. I'd spread my toast and butter, but I didn't realise I'd put the marmalade on already. And kipper and toast and butter and marmalade doesn't work.
It doesn't work, does it, really?
So that's just something to avoid.
That's a Heston Blumenthal type recipe,
isn't
it?
No, I've not tried kipper, but I do like a kipper.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Once I went to my friend's party. It was her parents, and they're quite straight-laced, and we all had a bit to drink. It was a barbecue. And she had one of those banana racks that you hang the bananas on.
Oh, yeah.
And as I went out, I put some things in their bed, like, you know, they had a hedgehog thing by the bed that you wipe your feet on. And that I did an apple pie bed for them, things that I thought was amusing at the time. And then I hung the sardines that we'd had that were left over from the barbecue on their banana rack, which I thought was funny at the time. But they didn't find them till the next morning.
Hilarious.
I've never been invited back.
No.
Make your own marmalade. Lunch and marmalade ingredients are included. It's £50 a person, and you can email fundraising@dandelionetime.org.uk. There's also Saturday the 13th of May, 12 till 3, Elmscroft, West Farley, a family day with lots of activities, crafts and stalls, along with barbecue and tea rooms. And they say, we look forward to welcoming you all. It's a free admission for the family, Saturday 13th of May.
There's a tweet here that's addressed to you.
Me?
Yeah, and not me.
Well,
and I'm not happy about that.
Why?
It says, hi, Jill Serkin, can we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please?
Who's it from?
We buy or sell your car locally from carsfromkent.com.
Oh, yes, the lovely Cars from Kent.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did ask them what their car of the day is, but they've ignored me so far.
Have they ignored you? I think it's a BMW
send me lovely cars to look at.
Can you stop banging your glass on the table because it pings?
I need a drink. Women Work, this is called. Friday the 10th of March. Oh, it's...
Get on with it.
It's got some echinacea in it.
Oh, that's all right then.
Yeah. Friday the 10th of March, the Assembly Hall, Theatre, Tunbridge Wells. This is one not to miss, they say. A full day of inspiration for women and the men who support them from all over Kent will be taking place at the Assembly Hall Theatre in Tunbridge Wells. It's on the 10th of March, as I said. It's an afternoon event. It's completely free, they say, and it's full of brilliant networking opportunities and workshops for women, mothers and daughters from every walk of life, giving you the opportunity to be bold, be you and be heard. And there will be donations for the Pickering Cancer Drop-In Centre. Sounds amazing, this event. Please go to Twitter, Women Work Events, or Facebook, Women Work Events, or the Assembly Hall Theatre.co.uk.
Bird's speaking at that, aren't you, Bird? She is. I've had a tweet from the Roofing Godmother.
Oh, that's a new one.
And she says, Business Bunker, hello, Paul. Could you please shout out for Mainland Cancer Care in Kent? I'm a volunteer speaker for them. Thank you. So do follow on the Twitter. It's Roofing Godmother without the R on the end because she ran out of characters.
Love that. Ken Heron is getting excited at coming on in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to call him shortly.
He's getting his crocodiles ready. Street Soccer Group, Paul. They say, hi, Paul and Jules. We're tuned into your brilliant Business Bunker. Flattery will get you everywhere. And look forward to hearing your guests. So that's the Street Soccer Group. You can follow them on Twitter, Street Soccer CIC.
Fantastic. I think we'll join Jamie in our newsroom now.
Let's.
Channel Radio News Update.
Skiers have had a lucky escape.